It's a challenge if church is full. And so many have not come because of it, and some have to sit outside. And we trust that soon we will be back to 50% of our capacity, and then at least we can pack out or house 220 people at a time. But at this stage, unfortunately, we are limited to 100 people, and then some will have to sit outside. I'm so sorry, but we are glad that you are here. Yes, just out of interest, like, if we were to do a third service, who would come for the third service? Just, yeah, everybody likes this time. Okay, we might have to consider that. But as you know, for Easter, we will have three services. But today, we are still busy with the series that we've been preaching on, myself and Werner, The Resistance. And it's really about this spiritual war that we're in, this spiritual battle that we fight, and the armor and the weapons that God has given us to wage this war. A war for the hearts and minds of people. The salvation of souls. This is what this battle is all about. It's an active, real war taking place for the hearts and minds of individuals to get them or prevent them from being saved. And that's the battle. And the kingdom of God advances as more and more people get saved. And so it's a reality all around us. And so we've been reading Ephesians chapter 6, not just to understand the meaning and the purpose of the armor of God, but the reason for receiving it. What is the purpose of having this armor? What are the schemes and the attacks of the devil that this armor is necessary for, to protect and to stand against the attacks of the evil one, so that we are not ignorant of these things, but are able to stand and overcome in these last days? And so let's, with that in mind, read again Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in of the strength. Sorry, let me start that again. Let me just drink something. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh or blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers of this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes to your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To this end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So today we're going to look at the helmet of salvation. Now, first of all, the helmet is something that is covering one's head to protect it. So a helmet throughout the ages have always been used to protect a soldier's head, because it is probably one of the most vulnerable areas in war. A single blow to the head can be fatal. So from thousands of years, soldiers have been protecting their heads with helmets. Even to this very day, modern soldiers still wear helmets to protect them. But what is the spiritual significance of the helmet of salvation? Now, the first thing to note when one reads this portion of Scripture is very interesting. In Greek, the word used to encourage us to take hold of this helmet and to put it on is different to what we find in verse 13 and 16. In 13 and 16, we are encouraged to put on the breastplate, to put on the shield. But in this particular verse, a different Greek word is used. And it is literally meaning to receive, to take hold of. And so in other words, salvation and the helmet of salvation is something given to us that we need to take hold of and put on our heads. Now we understand this in the context of salvation. That it is by grace through faith. It is something not of ourselves. It's something that God has achieved through His grace and His power. He sacrificed His Son that achieved the victory for us. That through faith in what He has done, we have salvation. It's not of ourselves. It cannot be earned. It is given by grace. So it makes sense that the helmet of salvation is something received, something that we need to take hold of. But the helmet of salvation is offered to us by the Lord. And we need to receive it and take hold of it and then place it on our heads. It is not of ourselves. And it's so important to begin with this journey to understand this aspect of the helmet. But how does salvation protect us in a spiritual war that we are fighting? What are the schemes and the attack of the devil that we need to protect ourselves against, specifically with this helmet of salvation? What does salvation protect us from? Now, firstly, if we look at salvation in its broad sense, is that we are saved from wrath through faith in Him. We are saved from sin. So, firstly and foremostly, salvation speaks of the fact that we have been saved from sin and all its aspects. In other words, guilt, its power, and its penalty. So it is important to remember, before we continue, that the devil will try to do everything in his power to keep man from being saved. But once we are saved, he will do everything in his power to neutralize us and make us ineffective in this war that continues to rage over the hearts and minds of people that will grasp out and reach out for the salvation of souls. So if he cannot prevent you from being saved, he will try everything in his power to neutralize you and make you ineffective in this war. One of the most effective ways the devil uses to paralyze Christians and make us ineffective is through guilt. Because guilt brings shame. And that leads us to hide from God. Remember in the garden? The first thing that happened after Adam and Eve sinned is because of their guilt and shame, they hid from God. And so to this very day, the devil uses guilt and shame as a very powerful scheme to make Christians ineffective. God gave man purpose in the garden, but instead because of sin, man hid from God. And so it's so obvious that the devil continues to use this scheme. You know, God gave us purpose with the Great Commission. And He gave us the gospel, the privilege to be entrusted with the gospel, that is the power of God that leads men unto salvation. And then He empowered us with the Holy Spirit. Amazing concept. Commissioned, entrusted, and empowered. But still, we often hide as if we have received nothing from God. The devil says, you are not good enough. It's a scheme of the devil. You are not good enough. You are not able. You are not worthy. You are not equipped to share the gospel. The devil says, you are not perfect, you are not righteous. God says, I know. That's why I sent my Son. That's why I gave Him as a sacrifice, so that your sin may be cleansed, forgiven, taken away, that you may be redeemed, adopted into my family, given an inheritance, and sealed with the Spirit of God, my own Spirit, so that you can go forth and make disciples of all nations. That there is nothing that will hold you back to do what is your purpose. Amazing what salvation is. It's an amazing concept, salvation. The fact that we've been forgiven, redeemed, declared righteous, adopted as children of God, have eternal life, have a great inheritance, and receive the Holy Spirit. And yet, the devil manages so many of us to hide as if we receive nothing. You know, salvation is something that God has given us. It is something God has given us. We read of this so powerfully in Isaiah 59, verse 17. God, He put on the righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation on His head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped Himself in the zeal as a cloak. It's powerful, this image that Isaiah sees of God. This vivid picture of God arising to execute judgment, but also redemption. And we have this picture of God clothing Himself with armor, the shining breastplate of righteousness and this helmet of salvation. This is who God is as the commander of the armies of the heavenly hosts. He prepares Himself for judgment, but also saving those who have faith in Him. And then the Word of God continues to say, but God has given us this helmet. There's something powerful about this helmet of salvation. God's helmet of salvation is His purpose. I'm going to save man. Man's helmet of salvation is a gift received from God. It's something God gives us. And therefore, Ephesians says that we must take hold of it, receive it, and put it on our heads. Helmets are issued to soldiers not only to protect them, but also for identification. I mean, there's a picture of a Roman helmet. It was different to the Greek helmet. It was different to Asterix and Obelisk. Remember their little helmets? It was different. So when you received this helmet, it was not just to protect you, but to identify to whom you belong, to which army you are part of. In the Second World War, we know it so clearly that the German, American, and British helmets were all different so that they can be clearly identified on which side they were fighting. And so the helmet that God gives us is not just to protect us, but is to make us part of something bigger than ourselves. It gives us identity. I give you a Roman helmet because you're now a Roman soldier. And you know what identity does? It speaks of belonging. You are now part of something bigger. So this helmet is not just to protect us, but it is to identify to whom we belong. And therefore God gives this to us and He says, this is who I am. This is my helmet of salvation. You take it, receive it, and put it on. And when we do, there's something powerful that happens. I couldn't find my old helmet, but I have this cap that a friend of mine, John Martin from America, gave me. Now, I love this cap. It's, you know, it's so comfortable. I love the camo. But it has an American flag on it. And I'm not an American. I've got nothing against America, but it's so awkward to walk in the streets with this cap. I have to really think before I put it on, because what will people think if I wear this cap? They're going to think I'm an American. But I'm not. I've got nothing against it, but I am not an American. The moment you put on the helmet of salvation, you are no longer part of this world. You are identified as being part of the kingdom of God. And so when we put on this helmet, it's not just for protection. It is about belonging and identification, which makes it very powerful. It means I belong to something different to this world. And when I put on this, I understand what it does to me. I understand what it means. It puts my focus on the fact that I am just a stranger in this world. I am simply passing through, and I'm on my way to the kingdom of God with an eternal inheritance for eternity. That is who I am, a child of God, not a sinner. You know, one of the schemes of the devil to keep us trapped in sin is to say, but you are just a sinner. Well, that's a lie. That's not your identity. That's who you used to be. But then God saved you. You were born again. You became a new creation, filled with the Spirit of God, adopted into the family of God. You are now a child of God. And therefore, because you understand your belonging and identity, you live as a child of God and not as a sinner. But oh, if the devil can just deceive us to believe that we are actually just sinners. Therefore, we sin and, you know, we have guilt and shame and we hide because of that. But identity is powerful because it defines where I put my focus and my belonging and the way I live. Because I now am a child of God. And I'm not ashamed to wear this. I'm not ashamed to say I'm no longer part of this world. And I'm not ashamed to say that I'm not staying in this world. And the moment I put it on, I put my focus on where I am going. Because I know in this world, I will always be a stranger. Because I'm just passing through. Because everything in it is going to burn anyway. And so the devil tries to lure us back through what we belong to. You know, this helmet given to me is an honor. So we need to take and receive this and wear it. It will save your life. Literally. It will save your life. It will give you eternal life. But more than that, it will give you belonging and identity. It will make you part of something bigger, bigger than ourselves. Like when Vanner shared last week about the shield of faith and this Roman shield that was used not just to protect the individual soldier, but when they came together and formed an interlocking wall or a turtle that covered both the front, the side, and the top. Working together, they become indestructible. And so too with this helmet. When I put it on, it's not just for me. It's putting me into a understanding that I am part now of something greater. And together we form the army of God, which is called the church. Now the devil is very cunning. And he's very clever. So what he wants to do is he wants to scatter the church. How can I get them not to work together? How can I scatter them like sheep without a shepherd? Because when sheep scatter, they become vulnerable to wolves. And that's exactly what the devil does. That's why the helmet of salvation is not just to protect our eternity, but to create an identity and a belonging that together we stand and overcome. And so this helmet is far more than just protection. One thing I realized is that when you're in a battle, you never take off your armor. I mean, when I was in the army, we didn't even take off our boots. We slept with it. And you had to have your rifle with you in the sleeping bag. You know, and as an NGO, I couldn't wait in the mornings to catch troops without their rifle. Who have you been in the army? Remember what we did to you? There you come to breakfast without your rifle. Oh, we would keep you busy the whole day. And you will never sleep again without your rifle. And you will never forget it anywhere. Because you don't go into battle without your armor. And when you're in battle, you never take it off. So please, don't put on your armor every day. Wear it every day. Don't take it off. Don't take off the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the shoes, and the helmet. Wear it all the time for your own protection, but for your focus. That's the powerful thing of identity. When I put on this cap, I focus on where I am going, to whom I belong, and where I'm going. And the more I focus on that, the glory and the future that I have with God, the less the distractions and the lure and the temptations of sin and what this world has to offer becomes in my life. It becomes powerless. The more I focus on where I'm going, the less the temptation of this world has grip on me. It becomes less and less powerful the more and more I focus on where I'm going. And so this helmet, this identity, this purpose, this gift given to me and the honor to wear it focuses my attention on where I'm going so that the world and the schemes of the devil have no effect on me. That is the power of it. In 1 John 3 verse From verse 1 we read the following: Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Amazing. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, we are children of God, and it is not yet revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. You see, the helmet helps me to focus. This is who I am. And this is where I'm going. And because I'm going to be with Him, I am going to focus to become like Him on my way. And that is so powerful against the schemes and the lures and the deception and the lies and the temptation the devil brings to bring us back into the world, to find our identity in the world and to be trapped in the stuff in this world. But oh, the more I focus on the glory and the future that I have with God, the less these things have an effect on me. That's why you need to wear the helmet all the time. The more assured we are in our faith, our understanding and consciousness of this great salvation, the love, the grace, and the honor it is to wear it, the more we shall be defended against all the schemes and temptations of the devil that seeks to lure us back into the world. But instead, we will live a life to please God and to honor Him, because this is now who I am. One of the schemes of the devil is to lure us back into this world. Wearing this helmet with pride protects me from the scheme. When we focus on the future glory, it protects us. But you know what is powerful? Being saved is more than just being forgiven. It is the glory, eternal life, and inheritance with God forever. There's something in battle when the soldiers realize they are winning. There's something about fighting a fight when you're on the winning side. There's something about playing a rugby game when it's 5 minutes left and you are shouting for your team, or you're in the team and the scoreboard is 35-5. And there's only 5 minutes left. Then it is, come on guys, let's just do another try. Because we're winning here. You know, and that is the thing. This helmet of salvation is not my own victory. It's God's victory, which He has already obtained. As a matter of fact, through His death and resurrection, He's made a public spectacle of the enemy, disarming them, and He's coming back to finish it off. And we have been given the privilege to be part of this end game. The last 5 minutes. And then we're going to share in the victory parade, going down the streets in the bus without the top and all the confetti and everybody waving. You know that? That's where we're heading. God says, I've already achieved the victory. I've already scored all the tries. The scoreboard is finished. Now you have an opportunity to join the team. The last 5 minutes. You were on the bench the whole time. But now you have an opportunity to join in the next 5 minutes. Because if you're only on the field, even if it's just for 5 minutes, you're going to be on the bus. And everybody's going to celebrate the victory of the team. Even though Jesus scored all the tries, that's okay. That's the amazing thing. So God grants us this opportunity. He says, listen here, this salvation I have achieved, I have accomplished. It's a gift for you. You can share in its glory if you choose to take it and wear it with pride. And then when the end comes, you can be with me on that bus and share it. Well, that's a great motivator. I'm not going to let the devil try to convince me not to play the last 5 minutes. No, God, if you give me this opportunity, I am on that field. And I will play my heart out. Because I know we've already won. And I know the glory that's waiting for us. That is exactly the same thing. And the devil will try to deceive us. So that we hide away in the locker room. Salvation is not just the forgiveness of sin. 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, "But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as an helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." This helmet of salvation is called the hope of our salvation. What is waiting for us? And you know what? A strong faith and hope of salvation and expectation of victory will purify the soul and keep it from being fooled, deceived, and defiled by Satan. Because I know where I'm going. And you know what? When the battle has ended and the noise of the battle has ceased, then I will take up this helmet. And I will be able to say like Paul, "I have fought the good fight. And now for me remains only a crown of righteousness." One day we'll take off this helmet and we'll put it down. And we will receive a crown of righteousness when we hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a little. I will make you ruler over much." That is where we're living for. So when God offers us this helmet, let us take hold of it with pride. Put it on, not just to protect us, but that we may know where we are going, to whom we belong, and what is waiting for us. Amen? Let us pray together. Father, I thank you that you have given us this great and awesome privilege to be part of your great salvation. That you've given your Son so that whosoever believes may have eternal life, may share in the glory, may be adopted, redeemed, accepted, called children of God, receive your Spirit, a seal that guarantees our inheritance that will never fade away. And I thank you, Father, that you will come through your Son and finish this war. Lord, thank you that we are assured of this victory. And Lord, I want to pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that we will take hold of this helmet. Oh Lord, with pride and joy and great expectation that it will protect us from the lures and the temptations of this world, but focus us on you and your kingdom until we breathe our last breath, that we too can say, "I've run the race, I fought the fight to the very end. And now, the only thing that remains for me is a crown of righteousness in your presence." And so, Lord, I pray for this heart, this passion in each and every one of us. And while all the eyes are closed, if you are here today and you've never received, you've never accepted this offer of salvation, this helmet that not just saves you, but makes you belong, changes you, and gives you hope and a destiny. If that is you today, God is saying to you this morning, "I have something for you. It's my helmet. It's my identity. It's my name. It's my family. It's an inheritance forever, eternal life." If that is you this morning, you've never received it, but you want to, I want to give you an opportunity while all the eyes are closed just to raise your hand to God and say, "God, I want to take hold of this great salvation." Thank you for that hand. Is there anybody else? You can drop it again. Is there anyone else? God has given you an opportunity to be part of something greater, far greater. Is there anybody else? Just raise your hand. Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for this person, Lord, that today made a decision to embrace what you have offered, what you have paid for, what you have accomplished. Today, heaven celebrates because the purpose of sending your Son again is worth it. Because He loves you, ma'am. And He knows you, and He was willing to give everything so that you
may have an inheritance.
So that we can share in that inheritance. Father, I pray that you will bless her, Lord, that you will open her eyes to see how much you love her, how much you have given her, and what exceeding great power she has within her as you fill her with your Holy Spirit, which is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that will now live in her. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that as she steps out with pride, Lord, that you will teach her fingers for war, as you did with David, that she will be fearless as she faces the giants all around in the fortified cities, because she knows God is with her and nothing is impossible for you. And Lord, I pray the same for each and every one of us, that we will not forget the day we took that helmet, Lord, that we will go, if it's in the cupboard on the wall as an trophy, Lord, that we will go and take it up again, polish it, put it on with boldness, and step out into this battle for your glory. Because it's for you, it's your purpose that you have, your opportunity for us to partake. And Lord, I pray that we will do it with boldness. Lord, make us aware of the schemes of the devil and not be fooled and distracted, but fight this battle to the end, to see men and women come to salvation and follow you, because that is how you're glorified. I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. I want you just to take a moment, just where you're seated, as we're going to continue with worship, just to respond to the Lord. In your own heart, in your own words, just as the Lord has been speaking to you this morning, just speak to Him. Just respond to His word, and then we're going to worship together. Father, I pray that we will take hold, receive, put it on and wear it with pride, and never take it off, this helmet of salvation. Lord, I pray that we will live in a way worthy of it. Worthy of it. Fully pleasing you as we pursue your heart, your kingdom, and your will, that you may be glorified in the way we fight with you. Till the very end, when you return and we share in that great glory, in Jesus' name. Let us stand and worship together.
To all who are thirsty, to all who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the streams of life, let the pain and the sorrow washed away by the waves of His mercy. Oh, His deep cries out to deep, we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. Oh,
Maranatha. Come, Lord. Come. Finish this fight. We can't wait for it. We'll wear this helmet with pride and fight to the end. But we ask that you come soon, that we may see that day. In Jesus' name. May God bless you. Trust you have an awesome week. If you need prayer, we're going to be here for a while. And wear it with pride. Amen.